Hey everyone, welcome to Talking Turkey, presented by SB Nation's Gobbler Country. If you aren't already, like us and follow us on Facebook, check us out on Twitter, at Gobbler Country, and obviously check out the website, gobblercountry.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm joined by John Snyder, our resident boomer. Thanks for being here with us, John. Hey, there's a lot of positive associated with today's game. What did you see today that gave you some hope?
Okay, we lost. Everybody said we were going to lose. Number one, we beat the spread. Everybody said we weren't going to beat the spread. We beat the spread. No joke. This team kind of had a problem in the first half, and then something happened in the second half. They came out on the field, and there was different stuff going on the field that they were actually, they made adjustments, and the adjustments freaking worked for a change.
We were saying finally. And you know what? That goes all the way back to the last 5 years, right, John? Where it's like from the previous administration as well, where it's like, well, I guess there's no halftime adjustments to be made. And this time there was. Like, we won the second half.
Okay. You've been looking at the stats. Give us the stats because folks, yeah, it was a loss. But this team had a high powered offense and had been scoring quite a few points. And what did Virginia Tech's defense do?
Well, the first thing they did is they didn't quit.
In the second half, they shut down Van Dyke. His passes were dinky-dunk, little stuff, nothing big, under the zone. Yeah, they were moving the ball sometimes, but eventually we started getting stops and they had to punt the ball. They've got a kid with a leg. That kid's getting drafted. Everybody on the sideline, all the former football players and everything, man, that kid's got a leg. He's going to get drafted. He does. He's
well, you know what
really
was nuts
to what
you were saying earlier, John, was like that first half – Van Dyke was eating Virginia Tech's zone alive. He had zero issues beating us with his arm. And I was sitting there looking at this and I was like, man, Miami's offense is on pace to put up 600 yards and Lord knows how many points. Like, are we going to have another record broken on us? And they answered the mail. Virginia Tech's defense didn't quit. Honestly, when you look at the stats from the first half, it's a miracle that it was only 17 points. And that's because the defense didn't quit. Even when things were getting nasty. So I really like this culture that Brent Pry seems to be instilling on both the offense and the defense. It's like, I don't care how bad it was last play. I don't care how you screwed up. Don't quit.
Yeah. And it was, you know, standing on the sideline and the kids are leaving the stands and, you know, it's homecoming and the parties are going on and people are leaving the stand. And I'm like, I sent you guys a picture and I'm like, I'm on the sideline with everybody else. They're missing this comeback. We got a shot at actually winning this football game. Suddenly, we had scored the second touchdown, and there was still time left, a decent amount of time left on the clock, that if we had just had like four more minutes or three more minutes, we could have won the football game. I mean, that's how close it was. The difference in this football game ended up being two critical plays, which number one was that fumble in the first series when we had a drive started. We were starting to get into a rhythm, and boom, the ball popped out. And that touchdown, by the way, was the difference in the game.
Watching that first drive, I was like, man, they are moving the ball against a pretty decent Miami defense. I was excited. And then, yeah, that fumble, and I know exactly what the second player is going to say, and I think this is actually a bigger one, is Lofton's dropped touchdown pass. Like, that is a clear touchdown. We win that game 21-20.
Yep, that was a touchdown pass, and he knew it. And he did the, okay, you need to sit down and think about this move. I know I'm going to have pictures. I don't know. I'll have to really dig around. But all I saw was the reach up, and it was hit him right in the hands, right in stride. And you could see his eyes get huge. And it was like, no, look the ball into your hands first. Worry about running later. Get the ball. Get control over the ball. That's what they teach receivers time and time again. And that foop, because he saw nothing in front of him.
And I feel like drop passes were the name of the offensive game today, because we saw several drop passes. And there's been so many complaints on social media and folks being like, we need to bench Wells. And like, I feel like we can put those to bed, right? Particularly on that first touchdown drive at the beginning of the fourth quarter. That's not happening because those were design plays. That's happening because Grant Wells wouldn't quit and he made something out of nothing. And I also seem to see like a relationship, at least an on-field relationship, developing between him and Thomas. Like, there was a lot of nice passes out of the backfield from Wells to Thomas. One drop, which, like I said, name of the game.
The drop was a little behind him and off angle. it was like, you could have put it at, if you had put that in front of him, like in over his left shoulder, he probably would have picked up.
It could have been better. That's still a ball yard. That should have been caught.
Yeah, it should have
it's
been.
It's still a ball that should have been caught.
There's no doubt about it, but a receiver's going to catch it. A running back is going to be fishing. Although we did see
David Wilson. Man. Our receivers weren't showing that today.
Well, we saw David Wilson come out on the field, and he did a rah-rah for everybody. And he's, boy, has he
and
got
the back
tiny.
Flips.
Yeah, and he did backflips.
Yeah,
I don't know if they put it on
small.
TV. But man, he was doing backflips and everything. Ah, man, he lit up the crowd, which kind of oddly, I think, kind of put some fire into the team, too, because it was a definite turnaround. I'm going to mention a name. Okay. It's a name that Brian has mentioned before. We talked about the fact that Breon Murray is just outclassed. He's, for whatever reason, he needs to go back to football school. He's getting beat all the time. And now, because everybody knows he's getting beat, they're picking on him. And he got picked on relentlessly, especially with that long pass. And Van Dyke, there are about four passes that Van Dyke threw that were just, they were the oh shirt passes, you know, just like, throw the ball up in the air. That's the kind of pat he was under pressure, and he just chucked the ball down the field. And all Murray had to do was turn around and knock it down. He could have knocked that one down too.
There's He's a couple struggling. Plays where it was a miracle we didn't get pass interference because of that, not turning around.
So my thing is, okay, if he's a good kid and he's really working hard, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, but he needs to go back to defensive back school, and he really needs to work harder and start to learn some of the more advanced skills of being a defensive back. And there's somebody on the sideline, and this is the name I'm going to mention. It's the boomer. Well, I'm not a baby boomer, but you know.
You're not? What are you? Wait a minute. What are you?
My parents were from the lost generation, so I'm considered a tweener.
What year were you born in?
I was born in 59, but my parents never served. World War II. I'm not a world, but the child of World War II parents. My parents were too young for World War II. They were a depression baby.
Wow. So you're like me. Like like I was born in 82. Like I'm not a millennial, but I am.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what it's like. You're a tweener. Well, here's
I always felt
the deal.
Like you understood technology too much to be just a baby boomer, John. But I'm going to refer to you as a boomer from going forward.
All right, I'll live with it. But here's the deal. There's this guy. I love his name. And it's such a cool name. It really is. Mansoor Delaney. I want everybody to remember that name because that young man got put on the field in the second half and lit the defense on. He was knocking passes down. He was covering tight but clean. He was making tackles. I mean, I'm sorry. There's no reason why that freshman, that true freshman, should not be on the field for the rest of the season. Period.
I wonder if we're going to see that sort of change now. Like, these seniors have had the first half and, you know, maybe it's time to start, like we've been saying for the last 3 weeks, maybe it's time to start having the young guns out there, right? So, you know, Mr. Lofton, thank you. We're going to shuffle the depth chart and we're going to give some of these younger players an opportunity to see what they can do. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. This season is a big training camp for Virginia Tech right now, where Brent Pry and his coaches are judging the talent and making decisions going into the future.
Yeah, I saw an abysmal offense in the first half, folks. I mean, you guys saw me texting from the field. We finally got decent signal on the field, especially in the south end zone. And I mean, the first half, it was like, what offense are we running? Because it doesn't seem to register. I mean, I've seen Tecmo Bowl had better offensive plays. Okay. A bit more adventurous.
No doubt.
More, I mean, it was just bad. Okay. There were.
Well, I mean, what did we have? I think we had 112 yards in the first half, and then we ended with 280 ish. So it was like a significant improvement.
So second half comes around. Suddenly you start seeing new guys in the lineup. I start seeing new linemen in the lineup. I start seeing new receivers in the lineup. I start seeing Wells getting mixing up where it's run here, pass here, run here. Oh, we're going to open up with a pass. We're not going to open up with a run. We're going to take a chance and we're going to go downfield. I was like, oh, wow, where did this come from? I was kind of stunned. This is what Tyler Bowen needs to do. Okay, we know the talent's not there. We know some of it is. It's young and undeveloped. We know that the talent is there to compete with a few games in the next half. Maybe we can get enough to get a bowl game. I know we can probably this team, the way it played in the second half, will beat Duke, will beat Georgia Tech, and they just lost their running back coach, and will beat UVA. But that only equals five. They got to get one extra win. So my take is right now that Tyler Bowen needs to be open to getting new kids in and doing new and innovative stuff, not to win a bowl, not to win again, to win each game, but to keep this program's momentum going. You got to do something positive. You just can't go out there and walk into haymaker after haymaker, right? It just doesn't happen that way.
Absolutely, John. And one of my biggest concerns is I don't want to see the talent that we do have on the bench feel like they don't have a future at Virginia Tech and that they're going to seek potential somewhere else. And I've said this before, and I'll reiterate it. We need to have players that feel like they have an opportunity to develop. They need something. So put the young Bryce Dukes out on the field. Put the young Mansoors out on the field. Let them get beat. Let them get the experience. Let them feel what it feels like. Let them understand what it is like to go up against an elite Power 5 receiver. But don't let them languish on the bench.
Let them go in and be supporting of your captains who are your seniors who are really playing hard. You know, surround your captains who have the experience. Get that knowledge on the field down to these new players. It is nothing like having to deal with it under fire, you know, lifetime. For anybody who's done anything in business or whatever, you can practice to your heart's content. You can run scripts to your heart's content. You can do tabletop exercises to your heart's content. There is nothing that substitutes for actually.
Exactly. An adage that we have in the military is that sims are great, but there's nothing like actually flying. So one of the things that I also want to bring up, though, and this might be a little bit of a hot take, which I'm fine with it, but if fourth quarter Virginia Tech shows up against a Leary-less NC State team, I think we've got a shot to beat NC State, right? Yep. If fourth quarter Virginia Tech shows up for at least three quarters against a backup quarterback who's trying to figure out how he fits in the offense, who struggled last week when he was in the game after Leary left. For those of you that don't know, NC State's starting quarterback, Leary, unfortunately is done for the season. He's got to get season-ending surgery on his pectoral tear. So best of luck to that young man. But his experience not being on the field for Virginia Tech's next game presents a unique opportunity where, hey, our defense might be able to slow them down enough, but our offense is going to have to do something against one of the best defenses in the entire country right now. And if fourth quarter Virginia Tech shows up with Grant Wells busting his tail and Malachi Thomas getting open, it could happen, right? That's my hot take, is that fourth quarter Virginia Tech has a shot against NC State.
That's right. And we haven't seen a fourth quarter Virginia Tech in, I think, at least 10 games.
No kidding. Like, that's like fourth quarter Virginia Tech is the best Hokie team that I've seen on the field this season for sure.
Yeah, and I go all the way back to the Carolina game last season, the opening game of last season. That is the best I've seen the offense play in that much time. I mean, they just needed one more break, and they would have had this game. They would have been, Ross would have been kicking an extra point, and it would have been 21-20. I'm serious.
Yeah, they needed Lofton to catch that ball. And that was, I brought it up in my Facebook Live broadcast that we've gone from a position of the last 3 weeks where we're like, pretty much every unit needs to improve for us to be competitive. And this week we're able to point at one play and be like, man, if we had got that one play, we're probably going to win this game. And that is, yeah, we took the L. But that's a fantastic progression from being where everything needs to be fixed to one play and we take down Miami and all of a sudden we're 3-4. Got it. We're 2-5 now. But that's progression. That's what we want to see. And I really, again, have to reiterate, I very much appreciate the mental toughness that Brent Pry is instilling in these young men, because it'd be easy to quit and they didn't. Yeah. And they still put themselves in a position to win the game in the last 2 minutes.
It takes a lot to get on the field and you're three-star talent, and you're faced against high three-star talent, you know, a bunch of four-star talent and a couple of five-stars. It takes a lot of cheek to get on the field and win against that. And you got to develop it. And that's one thing that Beamer was really great at developing. And I think Pry is kind of picked up on it. And I'm seeing that turn. Okay, this is going to be, it's a super tanker. It's a carrier. Carriers don't turn very fast. And super tankers don't turn, they turn even slower. They got fewer screws.
Carriers can turn pretty fast, man.
Well, yeah, that's just what I'm saying. It's got pretty, it, you know, carriers got four huge screws and two big rudders, and tankers got one screw and one rudder. So, you know, it's one of those things that, that you've got to realize that in this world, we have an incremental jump or an incremental creep. We just made an incremental jump. Let's see how it goes. We're going to preview the next game. It's going to be a brutal one. It's going to be tough, but it's winnable. If this new team shows up on the field, we got a shot. And everybody needs to keep their hopes up, keep their attitude going, and keep up on the good vibe that's that we've started. So, hey, Jay, you know, we got a few seconds left. What do you got to say?
I think that this performance last month is the one that gives us the most hope. So fourth quarter, Virginia Tech shows up against NC State. It's going to be a lot closer. It's the best defense we're going to face all year. It simply is. NC State's defense is legitimate. They have, you know, player core groups, particularly their linebackers, that are arguably the best in the entire country. So fourth quarter, Virginia Tech shows up.
Who are the two of the main coaches in that defense?
Probably former Hokie coaches.
Yeah, Charlie Wiles and Brian Mitchell.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, we've had a fantastic conversation here, John.
Yeah.
And I think we're in a position of hope instead of despair, which makes me very happy. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us today for this episode of Talking Turkey presented by SB Nation's Gobbler Country. If you haven't already, like and follow us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter at Gobbler Country and check out the website, gobblercountry.com. Until next time.
Thanks a lot, John. As always, how do we end?
Go Hokies.
Go Hokies.